You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
You're listening to the Blurred Nerds Podcast, part of the ESO Network, brought to you by GBTV and the Geek Ventures.
The Blurred Nerds Podcast is proud to be sponsored by Sweatpants and Coffee, the blanket fort of the internet, where comfort rules. Find them on the web at www.sweatpantsandcoffee.com.
Welcome to the Blurred Nerds Podcast, ladies and gentlemen. This is Little Bit.
And this is the Geek Father.
It is time for episode 253, and I just noticed that the Geek Father's profile picture is a cookie wearing a thong.
That's right. A friend of mine. Shout out to Zoe. It's pronounced Zoe Bloom. We kept badgering her for cookies because she kept putting on her Facebook. She bakes cookies and she's a great baker. All these designs are colorful, you know, they're really pretty cookies. We kept asking for cookies and she's like, well, I don't know how to ship them. I don't know if they're going to get broken and, you know, how much it's going to cost. So she was using us as guinea pigs to see if, you know, her shipping them would, you know, when we get them, they wouldn't be just big a box of crumbles, you know.
Right.
So she, about like five or six people, she sent cookies out to. We got them and they all came. She packaged them great. None of them were broken. And, you know, they were like snickerdoodles, which were delicious. Really great snickerdoodles. And she gave like some other like regular sugar cookies, but she put like designs on them. Like she made crosses. And then the one she made, the butt cookies, which they were shaped like an ass with a thong on it. She made them for a lady's bachelorette party or something. So she's had leftovers and she had the recipe, so she made four. So I was eating ass cookies and they were delicious. I ate that ass. It was tasty.
So what is she gonna, is she looking to start a company like shipping cookies? And that's why she used you
did
as guinea pigs?
Shock you into silence or what?
No, I just asked you a question.
Oh, yeah, no. I ate ass cookies. They were good. She's a great baker.
But is she looking to, is this like a company she wants to do? Like,
I don't think so.
In that she wants to ship out to people?
Yeah, she's looking into it, but, you know, the shipping costs and everything, and she'd have to charge more to ship them, or, you know, she'd have to charge more to cover like the shipping and all that stuff than someone could just find a baker locally and order cookies from.
Hey, there are some like cookies, cupcake companies that the majority of their business comes from shipping and people do pay that higher price.
This is true. I mean,
if your product is good, people will pay it.
And we told her like your cookies are fantastic. I mean, she should look into doing it. She's thinking about it. She's, you know, she lives out in the middle of nowhere and she's, you know, on like a farm and they have goats and chickens and cat, all kinds of animals. And they kind of live up. And so they're just very cool people. And she just does it as a hobby, really. And we're like, oh, make more cookies because they were delicious. We ate them all.
So what's new in the nerd world these past few weeks?
Well, got to give a shout out to, sadly, to William Hurt, Oscar winner, and the MCU's General Ross. He passed away this past week.
Sadly, another one of those figures that just, although a great actor, had a very troubled personal life.
Yes, there are allegations of abuse from one of his
multiple, actually.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and it's like, we're all human, and I don't know the whole details of the thing. I'm just saying that General Ross, yeah, William Hurt, he died, and now they're going to either have to recast or just, you know,
never have the character again.
Yeah, limit the characters, write him out, or say he retired, or
say something off screen. Or yeah, something like happened to him off screen.
Something like that. But yeah. And I mean, there's that. And then I saw the Ms. Marvel Disney Plus trailer. which looked really cool. I mean, looked cute. Concerned though that they've altered her powers because they're, you know, completely just kind of written out the whole Inhumans aspect of it, because they're like, ah, that show sucks so bad, we don't want any mention of it in the MCU.
Yeah, but again, we're just seeing a trailer.
Like, yeah, but I mean,
we've all complained many times that some trailers show us too much of the story.
Right. No, but they've said that they've altered her powers. That even before the trailer came out, they said her powers are going to be different. It's basically her powers come from these like armbands things that she's wearing, and that's more, I guess they're trying to make a connection to the Ten Ring kind of deal. You know, they got to make it all connect somehow. But I mean, the trailer is cool, and I'm going to watch it. I'm sure it's going to be, you know, fairly good. Just, I'm not like downing on them because they changed things. Like, I'm not like, die, you changed it, you bastards.
Well, I'd say so far, I've been pleasantly surprised by each of the Marvel live action shows on Disney. So I'm at this point just going to trust the process. Like, I'm not even watching the trailer.
They all end up having something that, you know, it's fun. I mean, they're ups and downs like any show. And so far, I mean, what they've come up with, it's been better than it's been bad. So, I mean, that's all I'm asking for. So.
And we both ended up finishing the Marvelous Miss Maisel, Mrs. Maisel, whatever. Season four?
Yes, I believe so. Tough to get through because she's insufferable.
Well, yeah, you weren't a big fan of this season, whereas I can see what they're going for in her story. You know, she's full of herself this season, and it's about bringing her back down.
Well, it took a long time to bring her back down because all seasons she was just like, I want to do it my way, this way, and it's like she's got. And I did love the part finally where Lenny Bruce just kind of went off on her and told her,
yeah.
Who the fuck are you? What the fuck you think you are? Like, I'm Lenny Bruce, and I fucking bent over backwards and in deep into the dirt and just, you know, climbed the ladder and, you know, started from nowhere. And if I had to do that, then who the fuck are you to think you can just be like, I'm going to do it my way, and I want to be a headliner from the beginning, and I want to just, you know, do 1,000-seat, you know, amphitheaters, and I'm just the shit. And it's like, no matter what comedian you are, I don't care how good you are, like even the best, like Dave Chappelle.
Oh, I'd say it don't matter what area of entertainment you're in. Right. You don't start out
at the
as the starring character.
Yeah, you got to check your ego at the door, man. Now, if you become a big shit and then you've proven you're a badass and you can have a little bit of ego, yeah, that's fine. You've earned it. But she was acting like she was the big shit and she hadn't earned it. And that's, I guess, what was irritating me the whole season. And then finally she got kind of slapped back down and was like, hey, okay, got a reality check. And I was like, yes, thank you, Lady Bruce, for giving her a reality check.
I did appreciate how this season gave more of the other characters,
yes,
their own stories. Like, Susie, her parents. There's even Joel's parents, you know, is every character got more of a story.
That's the stuff that made me laugh the most. The parents, and their antics, so zany, like her parents and then her ex Joel's parents.
Yeah.
Like they're just, I mean, I'm sure Amy Palladino, she's, you know, she's just writing up and amping up their Jewishness,
but also
for laughs, and it's hilarious.
I appreciated them bringing in more people from Gilmore Girls.
Right.
You know, we only got Milo in one episode, although that was pretty fucking funny. He's the dog walker, the one she meets in the park with the dog.
Yeah.
And then turns out he's married. Which ends up being oddly enough a running theme, because, you know, technically Lenny Bruce is married with kids too,
right?
And
he's got that pesky heroin addiction.
But also in the matchmaker circle, the head matchmaker. She's the mom.
Matchmaker mom.
Yeah, she's the elder Gilmore lady from Gilmore Girls.
Oh yeah, I love the matchmaker mob. They're all like stalking her, and the husband is like, "Who are you?" And they freak him out. He runs out of the store. He's like, "I don't know what's going on," but they're scared. Yeah, it was, that stuff was all the good stuff that I liked. It's just the, you know, the way they're writing Mrs. Maisel this season.
A character can't be likable all the time.
True, but I understand
now that she's. Yeah.
I guess it's to show growth.
Yeah, but also, you know, next season 5 is going to be the final season. So at least, you know, they got that all, that arc is finished just in this one season. She's been smacked back down.
Right.
So
hopefully, I hope they do a time when they show her like crossing paths with like Richard Pryor or something. That was cool.
Yeah, I don't know if they'll, because I think they're only doing eight or 10 episodes for the final season. So
are they going to do like another time jump, like another couple years, or? Because this one was at, what, 1960?
Yes, but it's right after she got left at the airport. I think it was only about 6 to 8 months afterwards.
Yeah.
Because she was talking about how quickly the guy went from leaving her at the airport to now he's getting married.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, he's got himself his beard, a little cover for, because, you know, being gay in the 60s was 1960, you know, especially being a black man, was just death to his career. And I'm sure, you know, I'm sure he didn't want to hide it, but you could tell, because he had to get rid of his whole band.
Yeah, got rid of his manager.
Yeah. And they were just like, oh, well, you know, we're handling his image now. And if you don't say anything, we'll pay you this amount of money. And poor Susie, she's like, $2,000? No, you know. Like, no. And they're like, $5,000. Susie's like, but $5,000. Mrs. Maisel like, no. They're like, $10,000. She's like, come on, man. Oh, poor Susie. Poor tortured woman.
But I mean, as a whole, I still like the season. The final episodes. Also, I have to say, I really enjoyed her working at the burlesque club.
Oh yeah, that was good stuff. How she just kind of turned the club around and turned the club manager into actual nice guy who was considerate of the ladies' feelings and knocking before he came in the room.
Yeah, I enjoyed the actor in that role, especially when they got raided. He's like, "No, I'm going down with I'm the piano player going down with the Titanic," or something like that.
So then Upload has started its.
Yeah, we've already finished that
second season. I think I'm an episode behind on that.
And again, we end on a cliffhanger where it ends and you're like, and that's the last episode. What the fuck?
Yeah, you're like, oh, why you do that to me?
And we don't yet know if it will be renewed. So fingers crossed.
Right. Science fiction. We'll see. Speaking of science fiction, there's news that they've already cast Kirk for season 2 of Strange New Worlds.
Yeah, and they've displayed a picture. No, it's been confirmed, so it's not even, I wouldn't even.
Yeah, it's not like speculation. He has been cast.
Yeah.
And Paul Wesley is going to be playing Kirk season 2. Now, of course, obviously, he's not going to be Captain Kirk, but.
Actually, he is.
Really?
Yeah, we got confirmation. Okay, so I saved an article about it. Let me.
He's going to be, what, captaining a different ship, I would imagine.
So here we go. This is from Comic Book Resources. And so, of course, we know that Strange New Worlds is got to be set sometime after the events of Discovery Season 2, where we first saw Pike and his crew. But it's also supposed to take place approximately a decade before TSO. So now that we've got Paul Wesley announced as Kirk, with also a photo of him in his uniform, which shows that he is not only seated in a captain's chair, but also he's got the markings of captain on his Starfleet uniform.
That's interesting.
So since we already know this, the show is supposed to take place years before he's ever
before he's captain of the Enterprise.
Captain of the Enterprise, which was also his first command. So we've already got, you know, people discussing the inconsistencies that, you know, we're seeing from the photo, which means this will have to be addressed somehow in the show. So some of the speculation out there. So at the approximate time when we are being told that Strange New World takes place, Kirk would have been serving as an officer aboard the Farragut and under the mentorship of Captain Garovic. I guess in the mythos of Star Trek, Garovic at some point dies being attacked by an extraterrestrial monster. So if they go that route, we could either see Kirk being put as an interim captain of that ship, or, you know, they're going to have to make just full-on changes to the established franchise history.
Oh, good grief. If they make changes,
which could either...
Trekkie's going to be mad.
Yeah, either give him a different first command, so a different ship, or somehow putting him in charge of the Enterprise far earlier than expected. Now, I mean, we know Pike's going to die because we saw, you know, he was shown his future. Right. But, like, are they, after the big deal of Anson Mount being cast as Pat Pike and how popular the character is,
they're not going to just switch that quickly. That's...
No, you can't kill him off in the first season.
That's ridiculous, yeah.
I mean, you can, but
we
don't want to see it.
I would hope they don't. You want to get a bunch of mad fans out there. I mean, they've already got Ethan Peck as Spock, and Celia Rose Gooding is going to be playing Uhura. So they've already introduced two established, you know, original canon characters. And now you got Kirk. It's like, well, why did you start 10 years before Kirk is supposed to take over the Enterprise? Why didn't you just start with that? If that's... should have just rebooted it and made a new... I don't know.
So another theory being floated is that this photo we're seeing is a big misdirect. That he could be wearing that uniform as part of a training exercise, as well as sitting in the captain's chair.
Like a Kobayashi Maru kind of situation?
Sort of. Or we're in a flash forward sequence where he is relaying a story to Spock about serving under Pike.
Well, either way, we are going to find out, and it will be a while before we find out, because it's not till season two that this is going to happen. So
we should establish that. Yeah, Kirk, like, is not showing up to
season two already before season one is even premiered, and we've already cast Kirk for season two. And oh, by the way, here's a picture, so you nerds can just speculate on this for a year and a half, 2 years.
Yeah, so I mean, they got to be working on it if we've already got a photo of him in the outfit and in the chair. But
yeah, you know, it's not a behind the scenes photo. This is like a still from an episode they look like they've already shot. So
yeah, but season one will premiere on May 5th.
Yeah, so they're just going from one show to another, just making sure you don't cancel Paramount Plus.
Yeah.
Speaking of, also this week, the new Halo series begins on the 24th.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it. It's getting some decent reviews. I haven't read too in-depth to the reviews. I know there's some controversy over having Cortana look more human.
Oh, that's just nerd boys.
They've addressed that. I mean, the creators have already addressed that. But
I think that they've already... people are like, oh, Master Chief takes his helmet off. I'm like, come on. He's not just this faceless, you know, automaton anymore. So you have to have him emote, and you have to have the character. People need to see the money shot. You see his face, because they need to relate to him as a character, a human.
Yeah,
that's been enhanced and turned into this super soldier.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. And they're portraying the UNSC as, you know, not exactly the good guys. They're portraying them as, the world sees a lot of military powers these days as just big bullies who go out and just pound on a little guy and take their stuff. So they're going to be dealing with that until the Covenant shows up and kicks their ass.
Also, we're back to Star Trek. We've so far gotten 3 episodes of season 2 of Picard.
Yeah,
it's very, I like it. It's very much better than
season 1.
Yeah, loving the Borg Queen. Borg Queen looks cool. Great updated design. Yeah,
I thought she was hot shit, and then Dr. Girardi was like, "Oh, by the way, bitch, I got you."
Yeah, but not necessarily. This is it. She is now fascinated.
Oh, yeah.
Probably going to have an obsession with Girardi.
The Borg Queen's on her ass now. She's like, "Oh, you've done something, you know, dangerous." She's like, "What's that?" "You've impressed me." Like, oh shit. Oh shit, it's on now.
Yeah, it's like she used to be obsessed with Picard and Data, wanting for them to basically be her consorts, and now she's got a new target. So like,
what is this mind that has defied me? I'm fascinated. Oh, poor, we gotta pour some out for poor Elnor.
Yeah, but we're dealing with time travel.
Yeah, I was like, is he really dead or is he going to come back? And when they redo the time thing, and I just want to know what point, what specific event happened that altered.
I mean, I think
that's what I want to know.
We only get 8 or 10 episodes of the show. Like, let's get to it fast, people.
Yeah, let's get to the point. I want to find out what's going on. And they're like, okay, nobody get hurt. Nobody get caught by the authorities. And it's the first thing that with that captain guy, what's his name? I forget
that. Rios.
Rios. The first thing Rios does is get hurt. I mean, it wasn't really his fault. He gets transported in midair and then he gets caught by the authorities. You're like, well, that, oops.
No, I wouldn't say authorities. People just found him and took him when he said no hospital. They took him to a place that he wouldn't be reported at.
But it's like they say that that's the first thing that happens. He gets up getting hurt and going to the hospital, and then he gets caught by ICE, you know, so. Those are, they are the authorities, and they think, of course, Rios, and he's got no ID. Oh, he must be illegal. I'm not thinking, of course, why would you think he's a man from the 25th century, you know?
It will be interesting to see if we have some parallels to, you know, the Whale movie.
Right? That's what I'm thinking. That's what I immediately thought. I was like, oh my God, this is Picard's Star Trek 4. They even mentioned, oh, we'll use the same method that, you know, Kirk and his crew used to save the whales and save Earth, you know, we'll slingshot around the sun. It's like, yeah, but they had Spock, you know, we need the Borg Queen to do the calculations. It's still fun. I'm having fun watching it so far. And then the season finale of Discovery was pretty good. It was kind of like a whole kumbaya feel good kind of thing.
But I do appreciate how, you know, we're definitely getting something different from each Star Trek show now.
Yeah, I think they're covering
back when we had, you know, like Enterprise airing overlapping with, what was it, Voyager, and then Deep Space Nine kind of overlapped, and at some point Next Generation overlapped, like, even though, you know, Voyager, they had them travel in the future, we were still dealing with very standard Federation directives and guidelines. You know, we didn't really get something different till Deep Space Nine.
It was a very formulaic Trek.
Yeah.
And then Deep Space Nine is like, no, we're throwing it out of the window.
Yeah, we're in a lawless part.
Yeah. This is like the Wild West. And, you know, they're thrust into a situation. And then that's probably why it was like a lot of people's favorite series for a while, because they had a bit of everything. And then, you know, it was the Dominion War. It was like, oh, shit, yeah. Shit's popping off. It's wartime.
Yeah, so I appreciate that now we're not having too much overlap, you know, because Discovery, Discovery's far in the future. The Federation doesn't exist anymore.
Like they're having to rebuild it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so pretty much you could do anything in the 1,000 intervening years between what's going on Strange New Worlds and, you know, and then you've got, what's the other one? You got
Picard,
which is like set in what's the year 2501 or 02 or something like that?
Yeah. So like the first season, it's like the Federation is no longer the Federation. We all it's not the ideal.
Right. They've done some things and some of their darker, you know, kind of quiet, secretive things have come to light. Picard was persona non grata until
In what, 2024? I think that's where they traveled back to. So we're now 2 years ahead of where we are right now.
Right. So I'm going to be curious to see how they, obviously, you know, the fictional history of Earth and Trek, you know, in the past, things have changed, and I want to see how they, you know, mesh that, alter that, you know, and change that, you know, history. Because if they're going to 2024, they're going to have to address some current event kind of stuff. Like, did they change it where it's like, the USSR broke up in 1991, and then, you know, stuff like that.
Well, I don't know. I mean, they're saying that, I mean, we're in 24 because that's where they say the diversion thing happened.
Yeah. It must have been a huge event to change.
No, remember, there's the butterfly effect. One small change can change that entire future.
Could be one guy just, it could have been something very simple.
It could be them going back to the past.
Oh, that would be a mind blower.
You know, like
they are the reason.
Rios being changed. In the clinic, you know.
So. Yeah. What if we're changing time right now? What if we're changing things as we speak? Yeah. We'll find out, hopefully.
But 3 episodes in, it's definitely got me hooked. I'm looking forward to seeing where the rest of the season goes.
Absolutely.
All right, well, let's take a break here real quick. And we'll be right back to finish out this week's show.
Modern Musicology is a podcast covering topics on rock and pop, ranging mostly from the 70s, 80s, and 90s, with occasional excursions into the 60s and aughts, and even occasionally the 2010s. Anything is fair game. Classic rock, R&B, folk, punk, prog, rap, metal, and way more, with 2 Americans, 1 Brit, a ton of fun, and a healthy dose of cynicism.
Sponsored by Sweatpants and Coffee, the blanket fort of the internet where comfort rules. Look for their anxiety blob comfort and encouragement journal, available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. Find them on the web at www.sweatpantsandcoffee.com.
It was the dawn of another podcast. The Epsilon 3 is a dream given form. It's a home away from home for 3 guys. To watch a 90s sci-fi classic TV show. 3 guys with microphones over 3,249 miles apart, all alone in the night. The year is 2021. The name of the station is Babylon 5. The name of the podcast is the Epsilon 3. Veer, bring me a drink.
Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen.
So before you go on your rant that I feel is coming, some things you want to discuss. How do you feel about the reports that Darth Maul was cut from the Obi-Wan Kenobi series?
I don't even see the point why we need to know.
Yeah, it's like,
I mean, if it's
why are you starting shit that you don't need to start?
He was in a first draft. They decided to go a different direction. So at this point, right. What does it matter? You're just, you know, you complain about how toxic and angry the fandom can get.
Yeah,
and
now
you're just giving them something to go off on and be disappointed about.
Unnecessarily riling up situations that didn't need to be riled up. And now, of course, people are debating it. And it's like, okay, he was in a first draft of the script. They submitted the script and Kathleen Kennedy and even Dave Filoni and John Favreau were like, no, go bigger. We need it to be, this is too familiar. It's too similar to things that are happening.
Yeah, too familiar. So let's put Darth Vader in there.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Because that's, I think it was just like, this is cool and all, but, you know, we need to have an excuse to squeeze Darth Vader.
Now, granted, we already knew that Hayden is going to be in the show.
Yeah. So this is probably decided long ago. And this is part of why they had to do reshoots and change things, because they were just altering the script probably down to the last second. There are rumors that Ray Park was already reprising his role, and it was, you know,
and had filmed or like done some practice choreography and stuff. But
I don't know if it got that far or not. But
well, I'm just saying that's the reports I saw. But again, it's just like, okay, it was cut out. So why?
Yeah, they said,
why bring it up?
They said Favreau and Filoni allegedly expressed concerns that, let's see, the guy Amini that was writing the script, I said it was. His script was, Hossein Amini is the guy's name, said his script was too similar to the Mando's plot, which finds a lone wolf character protecting a child from evil forces. Well, that's generally what happens.
Yeah, that's basically all of Star Wars. You really,
I know, right? It's an old guy who probably failed before and is trying to redeem himself by protecting a young one from the bad guys. I mean, that's been Star Wars since Star Wars began. And I'm not, I don't have a problem with that. I'm here for it. I just want to see Obi-Wan do Obi-Wan shit, man.
And, yeah, I mean, I'm okay. Like, wherever you're going with the story, fine.
Give me some prime time in his prime Darth Vader, kick some ass.
I trust Ewan McGregor as Kenobi. I also, you know, he doesn't choose a lot of bad roles. So I don't think he would have returned he didn't believe in the script.
Even if I give the prequels shit because they're terrible, most, you know, they're bad. But it's not because of Ewan McGregor. I loved him as Obi-Wan Kenobi. He was parts of it. The rest of it was like, But I'll be watching. It'll be interesting to see.
Let's talk about real quick the new show on HBO Max that it's premiered, and I am all for it.
Oh yeah,
and it's called The Minx.
Minx.
So it's, you know, basically the plot is there's this lady who considers herself a strong feminist and is really gung-ho about women being treated as equals and getting a fair shake in the workplace, and wants to put out a magazine for women.
Magazine. What does she call her magazine?
Oh, it was it was a really long title. Yeah, I can't remember.
It was an awkward title. It was like the matriarchy or something.
Yeah.
Something,
but she ends up, like, she can't get a publisher to pick her up and ends up going into business with a guy who runs a porno mag business. Well, like, and I wouldn't
lots
even say
of porno mags.
I wouldn't even say porno is necessarily right. It's more just men's magazines with boobs. It's like early Playboys. I think porn is
his business
probably
card.
Taking it too far.
I paused it and read all the titles on his business card. She was like Milky Moms. Ew. I was like, oh my god, this is hilarious.
So he encourages her to start a magazine for women, and basically to sugarcoat the feminist articles she wants to write. She puts them in there, but they're surrounded by pictures of naked men, and
like, there are lots of dicks.
And yeah, this show. Now, I'm not sure if they're doing the whole prosthetic thing like Pam and Tommy did. I haven't looked that much into it yet.
I don't know. Didn't even think about that.
Well, apparently that's become a common thing now. Is when it comes to a show or movie showing full male nudity, instead of it actually being the man, they're building them prosthetics. Which,
wow, are men that insecure?
No, I don't think it. Well, I don't know if it's a matter of insecure. Like, I understand it for Pam and Tommy because, you know, there's like Tommy this Lee, legendary mythos around his
penis.
He
has a big dick.
Yeah.
It's not a legend. He has a really, it's whatever.
Well, plus, and in that case, they wanted it to be animatronic so it could have conversations.
Yeah,
so it could
sing and dance and shit, do weird things. Yeah.
So, but because I had read an article with the guy who builds the prosthetics, and it was from him that I learned, he's like, you know, like, yeah, I get hired all the time, and I have some things that are already in stock that people can rent, or I get hired to build custom things. And so it's a big business. So theoretically, they could have, because they're trying, like in the first episode, she, you know, basically says she's only seen one penis in her life, when they're trying to tell her that, you know, no two are alike and they can look many different ways. So then we have a montage.
They're using prosthetics to
show. Well, I want to look into it. But yeah, if that scene is specifically to show us all the different types. So
like, I can imagine casting call. We need men whose dicks swing to the left and who dicks short. Have elbows in them, short ones and fat ones and long and skinny ones.
Yeah. But either way, whether they're prosthetic or the real thing, if the I as a woman appreciate a show for not like hiding it. Because yeah, I think for far too long it's just like it's perfectly decades, it's perfectly acceptable for a woman to be naked. But yeah, for some reason it's considered taboo. Frontal nudity
for women, no problem. Everyone just you know, it's everywhere, but when it's guys, everyone's like, oh my God, there's dicks. You're like,
yeah.
And I think for this kind of show, it needs to be, since it's about the whole situation, she's a feminist, and she's got this magazine, there, you know, female empowerment and feminism, and the female has control over the situation, that there should be a magazine where it's like, you know what, we want to show dicks and we want to do it our way, we're going to do that. And the show should represent that, and I'm glad that it does.
Well, it's also like they even use the Burt Reynolds centerfold as which really happened as an example of her thinking that women don't want to see a man's body.
Yeah,
and proving I'm wrong. Here,
I'm watching going, oh no, women do. I mean, they might have different things about the male body that they like than say a man would like about a female body. But they still want to see, you know, on your butt as naked dudes.
And for some people, it might even be the reaction of they're just going to giggle at the sight of a penis.
Yeah.
Because, you know, penis is a funny looking organ.
Penises, they're not like a woman, you know, naked woman. It's beautiful. It's like a work of art.
Okay, but you're saying that from a man's point of view.
From a man's perspective.
From a heterosexual man's
point of view. From a heterosexual man's point of view. Yes, you're right. Yeah. It's true. But I mean, it's like, even I, as a guy, heterosexual, a man, penis, they're weird looking things.
but are you having the reaction of, oh, I don't want to see a naked man on my TV?
Actually, no. I didn't have that reaction.
That is some people's.
But that is, a lot of guys are like, no, that's naked dudes. I can't watch that. I'm like, they're naked dudes, man.
Well, and I think
I'm secure in my heterosexuality. That I don't.
But I think
it's not a thing for me.
I think part of the reason there's reactions that way of people not wanting to see it is because so many shows and movies have hidden it. You know,
yeah,
the only way you get to where it's normal, the same way women's are considered normal, is if you just show it.
Yeah, and that's the thing. The Americans, we have this puritanical prudishness that has been baked into our society from the time for the Pilgrims first landed at Plymouth Rock. You know, it's just been going on. It's just this whole attachment with religion and being shame attached to it.
Right. It's also like
your body kind of situation.
There's shame attached to it. But in like the case of the woman, it's like, they're like, yeah, show the woman naked. But then if the woman's naked, oh, she's promiscuous or easy. Yeah.
She's naked. She's a slut. She's promiscuous. This and that, yada, yada, yada. And that's not the case.
But then if a man's naked, they're like, oh, that's not appropriate. We shouldn't see that.
Yeah, but then it's like, you see topless guys everywhere. Like, oh, look at that guy. He's topless. And no one thinks a thing about it. But, you know, topless woman, everyone is, they lose their minds and it's fire and brimstone. The world's ending. It's like, if you normalize it on both sides, then we no longer would just freak out about nudity in general.
Like, yeah, I would love to get to a point where I'm watching a show where I don't have the reaction of, oh my God, they showed a penis.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
as in, no, don't show me the penis. I mean, oh my God, they went there. Like, this show is actually like, showing us a penis. Well,
with Minx, the subject matter, I kind of expected it, but like other shows, it's a surprise. Like, you know, Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, the first episode, you're like, oh, surprise breasts. I didn't expect that. Yeah. But you're right. You know, we hopefully can get to the point where it's not something that's surprising or, you know, people shy away from, like, oh my God, look, Marge, penises.
But let's just say, like, we've got two episodes, the first two episodes dropped of the show.
Yeah.
Besides the fact that there's penises, I do find the concept interesting. It's just as much drama and dealing with some issues that were present back in the late 60s, early 70s, as well as giving us some comedy. And they've got Jake Johnson from New Girl in it, enjoying his acting in it. I'm enjoying all the supporting cast. So I look forward to seeing the rest of the season. Yeah. I hope it lives up to the first two episodes so far.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
And I hope it does some good for, like, look, I don't expect to see Nick and Ben on like regular
I don't think it's going to be every episode.
I don't expect it for it to get to where like, hey, we're going to see this on NBC. But
I don't think network television. I doubt that.
Yeah, highly. That's what I'm saying. But I would appreciate, you know, moving forward, if it's just like, if there's going to be a naked woman in a show.
Yeah, like if
we should equally be able to see you. Yeah,
we're going to see nudity. You're going to show the naked woman, show the naked guy too. You know,
whether it's a prosthetic or not.
Yeah, if the guy wants to use a prosthetic and make his stuff look, you know, bigger, whatever.
Yeah,
it just gets cold in the room.
Let's normalize it, you know. We don't need those weird sock things that make them look like Ken dolls. I understand using it in a sex scene,
right?
You know, yeah, you want to be professional.
You don't want rogue penises just flopping around.
Yeah,
simulated sex scene. We've spoken so much about dicks in this episode.
But hey, the point is, we recommend Minx, and
yeah, it's a good show.
Possibly will recommend DMZ. I have not started it yet. It premiered this
week. I watched all four episodes, and I'm sure I save thoughts on that for the next episode if you'd like. But
no, they dropped four at once. Wow,
it's a limited series. It's basically only four episodes.
Oh, it's only four episodes. Okay, yeah. So you get the complete story in four episodes.
You get the complete story, and it deviates pretty severely from the comic book. I haven't read the graphic novel, but I looked up Wikipedia and what the story is generally about, and they tell the kind of story from a different character's perspective altogether, a different event. So it's basically kind of only DMZ in name only. You know, they had to alter things because of the time that the graphic novel was written. It was like 2006. And here we're, you know, almost 20 years later. So,
well, I, for the most part, trust HBO Max's originals. I mean, I even watched their foreign offerings because to me, they make smart choices on what they put on there for their originals.
Yeah. So, I mean, it has its moments. It's okay. It's not, I'm hoping for more from it, but it, you know, it had moments where Benjamin Bratt was fantastic in it. He chewed up all the scenery. He was really good. And of course, I do like Rosario Dawson, but she was playing yet another nurse character. I don't know what it is, but they cast her, they make her nurses and stuff.
Well, but basically, is it a recommend or is it a not recommend?
If you're a fan of the graphic novel, I mean, there's things that I wish it would explain more. Like, it's supposed to be 8 years after like the start of a second Civil War. And they never explain kind of, they said that Manhattan Island is the demilitarized zone. So it's like this, the demarcation between the free states and the remaining United States. So, but they never explain like where the split is and what states are free and which ones aren't, you know. I wish it would have been a little more backstory detail. They just kind of jump you in and just move from there and don't really explain things. And then it's only four episodes. I really wish they maybe had just done six, eight, just a little more story.
You know, I miss the days of 20 episode long seasons.
Sometimes, like this is the one where I think 10 episodes, you could have told more stories. You could have had the main A story, and you could have had a B story that, you know, went in more detail about like what happened, what started the war, and why it was going on, and you know, what the status and stuff like that. That's the stuff that interests me, really. Because, I mean, if you're going to make it like, oh, it's alternate history, well, give me some of that backstory of the alternate history, you know, if you're going to go that route. So I just think it missed on that, but otherwise it was okay.
All right, well, we'll see if I get to it then. I am
watching, I would though
I mean recommend, I am I'm watching quite a lot right now, so
I would though recommend a documentary that I watched. It was called Phoenix Rising.
Oh yeah. And it was also about, on HBO Max.
Yeah, it was about Evan Rachel Wood and her abuse at the hands of
we have Marilyn to say Manson. Alleged.
Alleged, yes.
But probably, in our opinion,
allegedly,
there's probably some truth to it.
Most likely there is some fire with that smoke.
But again, our opinion.
Right, true.
Once the case goes to court, we'll see what the court says.
The authorities are investigating it, and there's been no charges brought yet. And as of March 2nd, I think he's filed a lawsuit against her for, you know, defamation, all that shit.
And she said she's not scared.
Yeah, she said she's not scared. She's not hiding. She's named him, and she's ready to fight. And I just feel like I believe what she's saying because she seems so adamant and determined. And like the way the things she's described that he did to her, it's a tough thing to watch, but I mean, it's a very good documentary.
Well, let's end this week's show on a little bit more lighthearted, I guess somewhat lighthearted, but I had mentioned something before we started recording. And you found it weird. So yeah. I kind of think this is common. I know a lot of people who think this way. So as I've mentioned on previous episodes, me and my husband are going through the buying our first home process. And we're picky, as I think most people would be picky. You know,
You're going to be living there for decades. You want to make sure it's something you really want.
So, you know, the normal things, like I want 3 bedrooms. I need at least 2 bathrooms because I'm tired of having 1 bathroom. I want central air because I'm tired of window units.
Especially in Texas, central air is a must.
Yeah. I don't want carpeting because I don't know what's been in that carpet before I move in there.
You don't want to know.
Yeah. And I don't like the newer manufactured homes. The wrong term. I think that's maybe the wrong term. The newer neighborhoods they build.
They just seem like they're more cookie cutter type houses.
Yeah, I think manufactured homes means like those fancier mobile home type things. I'm not sure. But I'm more interested in like the houses that were built from the 40s to like 1979. Because I want like either, you know, your ranch style or your mid-century, and need a garage, of course, because we own too many vehicles, and that we'll probably own even more once we have more space. But
once you've got a legit driveway and like an actual street that has some width to it.
Yeah. But so my big thing is like, I'm not totally against 2-story homes. But I am.
But tell us why
Okay, so I can look at a picture of a 2-story home, and within 3 seconds, my brain will say haunted, or not haunted. Like I can just, and it's like it's not even a photo. I could do this driving around neighborhoods, whatever. I look at a house, and I just instantly get a vibe where I'm like, nope, fuck you, you're haunted. Now, so
you're like Amityville happened there? No.
Yeah.
No.
I don't even mean like. No. I don't even mean like a
violent. Old lady haunting. Died there.
Yeah. Not necessarily a violent haunting. Just like there's some spirits hanging around.
Yeah. Somebody's move on its own. Died in the upper bedroom, and she doesn't know to leave.
Or there, not even somebody died there. Somebody just didn't feel like leaving. You know, they could have died elsewhere, but that could have been their happy place, and they don't want to go. So there's an origin story for this, and it goes back to her, like, I don't know if I was actually 4. Most of the time when I tell childhood stories, my brain is just like, yeah, when I was 4. So I could have been younger, could have been a little bit older, but it was back when my parents were still together. And I think they got divorced when I was like 6 or 7. And then I moved. But at that time we lived in the Golden Triangle area, which for, either people in Texas who don't know where that is or people outside of Texas, it's kind of near the Gulf of Mexico. It's in an area of Texas where there's a lot of oil refineries because of it being on port areas where inlets come in from the Gulf. Yeah.
Seawater mixed with crude oil. Mm.
And it's an old part of Texas.
Yeah.
Very old. There's been a lot of hurricanes. There's been fires. There's been battles. Like, there's some shit's gone down.
Yeah. So there are some spirits just roaming around.
Yeah.
Like, what happened? Did I die?
So a friend of my mom's used to, it was like one of her best friends. So sometimes she would babysit me, or sometimes my mom would just be visiting with her. And I believe we would be at the friend's mom's house, which was, I would say, let's call it a three-story house, because there was two levels, but then there was an attic. But it was an attic that had a staircase went fully to the attic. So right. It's not like you pop down a ladder type of thing. And they had turned the attic into, like, half of it was storage and half of it was a playroom where there was toys. And up in this room were boxes of headless Barbies.
No, I already know. It's a big nope.
When I would have nightmares of a child, I would have nightmares of this house where the door to that attic room would fly open and the headless Barbies would fly down the stairs chasing me and terrorizing me. So I now associate two or more story houses with that nightmare.
I get it.
So
yeah, it doesn't help that you live San Antonio, one of the most haunted cities in America.
Well, quite frankly, I've always lived in haunted areas. And it, like, in college in San Marcos, you know, ex-roommates, me, like, we're all convinced I had a ghost that moved with me to each house. So, and some weird things happen when I'm a kid. So it very well could be I just had something following me around. Now, not in a malicious way.
Right.
Just in a would play with my dog way and freak out my roommates when I went out of town kind of way. Never messed with me kind of way. So everything I know about it is from what my roommates told me, or people in my family would tell me. You know, it's not really something, I've only witnessed something once. So, and that was, again, as a child. I've never seen anything as an adult. I've gotten weird feelings, but
had a ghost encounter a couple times. I think the one I had I can remember is when I was going to a San Antonio College, community college here, and I was I was on KSYM, the local
college station,
community college radio station, and I was doing like a shift like at night, like 3-hour shift, and it was like 2 a.m. or some business. So and their radio station used to be in this house that was donated by the former residents, and the house
I've been in there many
times. It's well over 100 years old. So this house is old, it's creaky, it was built in like the 18 something or other. So at the time, this is like 1995 or so, and the house is old, it creaked, and you know, doors would open and close and you creak. And I know I'm the only one in this building at 2 a.m. and I'm on the radio station and you're in the radio booth and you don't really hear a lot because you've got your headphones on and you're doing changing CDs and all that shit. And I just hear creaking, like, and doors open and the door goes blam and it just slams. And I hear like it happened like 3 different times and I'm on the radio and I'm trying not to like lose my shit because you know, you get that uneasy feeling, like your whole body is just got the tingles. And you're like, your heart's jumping up in your throat. And you're just like, hey, this is Marcellus on KSY. I'm trying to be cool. And the whole time in the background, there's like, I hear footsteps and I hear creaking. And I'm just like, as soon as the thing was over, I like signed off. And I'm like, I GTFO'd. Like you see the cartoons or the smoke cloud and the person is gone. That was me.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I am never doing a night shift in this building ever again.
But when you looked at the building from the inside, did something in your brain say haunted?
Oh yeah. No, when I had when I had classes in that building during the day, I'm just like, somebody died in this building. So there much a lot of people died in this building. This building is, I do not want to be in here by myself, because you'd hear weird things in that building all the time. Just footsteps and creaking and doors opening and closing. And you're just like, let me get the fuck out of here. I don't like this.
Yeah. So the point is, like, there's some house listings where, yeah, some of them don't even start with a picture of the outside of the house. They start with like the best room in the house has been remodeled or something. It could be the best house ever and a perfect match for what I'm looking for. But then I get to a picture of the outside of the house and it's just like, this, well, nope, haunted. Can't go there. This
feeling and you're like, no. I get that now. I understand. So, we watch too many horror movies as children, I guess.
Because let's look at it. Most haunted movies like Poltergeist or Amityville, Nightmare on Elm Street, they're all in two-story fucking houses. So it's not just us. There is an established feeling that for something to be scary, it's got to be two stories.
Real events that happened that have been like immortalized in movies and shit, like Amityville Horror, two-story house.
Yeah.
You know, the whole Lizzie Borden thing, two-story house. Yeah. You know, you're just like,
the only thing, like the only time we see, there's a basement. Never mind. I was gonna say the movies about the Warrens.
Yeah.
You know, and like
there's an attic Annabelle or basement. Yeah,
they've got there's basements in those houses. That's just technically still two stories.
Like, so just give me a one story ranch house. I don't want any extra.
Actually, I'm okay with a basement, or at least like what's considered. I can't remember what they're called, but it's basically like an in-ground room where like the front one side of the floor is in the dirt, but the other side like opens out to your backyard or something. Yeah. So it's my split level house, or something. I don't know.
My sister's house is like that. It's technically like two stories, but the way the house is just kind of built is like the front of the house. You walk in and like you said, the basement kind of is, the front part is like underground, but then it opens into the backyard.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it might be a split level. I know that it's very common in Seattle, and there's a few of them like that here, depending on how hilly of a neighborhood you've moved into. Well, but
I wish you the best of luck in finding the exact thing that you were looking
for. Yeah. It needs to happen soon. That's just because I am not moving when it's 100 fucking degrees. So
you better hurry up. You got like a couple months.
I think I've got maybe like 1.5, really.
Okay, you're like May 5th. It's like it's too late.
Yeah, plus I need time to get my sewing room packed up and then unpacked so I can make costumes before Labor Day.
Because you got to have the new costumes for we know why.
Yes. So, but that's it for Frank. Do you think two-story places are haunted? Do you live in a haunted place? Well, drop us a line.
Ooh,
let us know.
And I know it's not Halloween or anything, but just tell us your ghost stories anyway.
Or hey, if you want to be on an episode, we'll have you tell your story on the episode. So
that would be awesome.
Yeah, drop us a line, and as always, we appreciate you tuning in. We hope to see you back again in 2 weeks. Until then, y'all take care out there,
and as always, don't forget your pillow.
The Blurred Nerds podcast is sponsored by Sweatpants and Coffee, home of the Real Anxiety Blob. Find them on the web at www.sweatpantsandcoffee.com.
You've been listening to the Blurred Nerds podcast, a member of the ESO Network. Join in on the nerd fun by following the Blurred Nerds on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can also check out our sister channel, GVTV, on YouTube at Geek Ventures Television. Have comments or show ideas? Want to hear more? Subscribe today, join us on our social media channels, or send us an email to theblurrednerds@gmail.com.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.